it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. Hour three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Boy, the news is firing, and we have a number of Cowboys updates over the last hour or so. Maybe you want to go back with the Odyssey app or YouTube and check out all the content. We had David Hellman. We had the C-Note and then Krusty's Corner. And the football party continues. Here's Wolchuk with a fix.
All right, we do have some Cowboy updates here in regards to, one, Trayvon Diggs. The reason in which he was not starting was because of an off-the-field issue, and Brian Schottenheimer was basically disciplining him for that. So Trayvon said he appreciates Coach holding him accountable. Yep. I don't know. Is he back in the starting lineup this week?
Mad at him, remember?
They were mad at him, and then I think there was some other stuff that kind of went down during the week, maybe even pregame beforehand with Diggs and Shoddy. And Shoddy said, you know what, you're not starting, and I appreciate that. So we'll see what happens this week with who's in the starting lineup and who's not.
So somebody was like disrespecting Shoddy enough to not start. That sounds like story of the week.
Yeah.
That's a big one right there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just time to go, Trayvon.
Todd Archer says that he is going to start against the Jets after coming off the bench versus the Packers. First time he didn't start since his rookie year. So I guess Trayvon now feels confident that he will be back in the starting lineup, and this was just kind of a one-week benching situation. We'll see.
That's pretty amazing. We gotta get the details on this.
Quote, I just wonder if you can really trust him out there. Like, how much of the crap touchdowns that he's given up is because he hates the Cowboys? He says he wants to be here. You know, but he's got the exact same perspective as Micah Parsons did.
Yes.
The enemy from within.
Yes, absolutely. He had two plays that were really good. He jumped that route for the interception, didn't count. And then he read a screen beautifully.
Yeah.
And came up and made a tackle for loss in overtime. But otherwise, you're right. I mean, pregame, like Dak's addressing the team, and there's video that goes viral of him just in the background kind of doing his own thing. He's checked out. He doesn't really give a damn. So, I mean, it goes back to in the offseason. Like, I really believe he's not on this team right now. If he wasn't hurt, I think they would have moved him. But he was hurt, so we need him to build that value back up, boys.
And I can't tell. You know, maybe he's just rusty. Maybe he's coming back from the injury. But some of these touchdowns, it feels like a guy that's not locked in, especially against the Giants.
Absolutely, it does. And then did we get some good news during the break on Tyler Smith?
Yeah, Tyler Smith.
Panic.
Yeah, we shouldn't panic because that's the same kind of the knee tendonitis and stuff they've been dealing with.
Okay.
So
hopefully he's good to go.
Yeah, it's something they've known about. You know, they continue to monitor and know about. And treat.
So. And we got good news on CeeDee Lamb. He's at least out of the boot.
Let's go.
So, you know, maybe he's trending towards returning sooner rather than later. That'd be great. All right, let's get to San Francisco. We had the coach fight with Liam Cohen, Robert Saleh. Now, of course, San Francisco media's got to address this. You know, first press conference back. So Kyle Shanahan takes to the podium and, hey, coach, who do you think could actually kick Bob Saleh's ass?
Well, pretty important question. What NFL coaches do you think could beat up Robert Saleh?
Just me.
Dan Campbell?
Yeah, I would probably bet on Dan over a lot of people. Saleh's too nice usually, but it seemed like someone struck a chord later. I mean, the other day, but I don't think there's any fights going on. It was kind of comical now to look back at it.
And they're having a good laugh, I think, after all of this has happened and we're looking in the past. But, yeah, I mean, I think Dan Campbell, and we've kind of kicked this topic around before, I do think Dan Campbell would be number one. Otherwise, D'Amico Ryans, maybe, Houston, I think would have a shot at this.
Everybody's fighting for second though, after Campbell.
But
Campbell's crazy. He will literally bite your knees off.
Vrabel.
He will gouge your eyes out. Yeah, Vrabel would definitely be a tough challenge.
But after that, I'm really struggling to think of somebody that would have even a chance here.
That's what made it funnier, because like Liam Cohen's right towards the bottom of the list.
Oh, absolutely not. I do like Shanny saying it'd be me. Maybe. Might know his weakness.
Why do I think like that D'Amico Ryans could like go nuts on you?
I'm with you.
Good like a, younger like, defensive player. You, defensive yeah. lineman, right?
Linebacker.
Linebacker. Yeah. Why would I feel like that he could just like lose it on you and just start like J.J. Wilcox quick punch you before you even knew it?
That's what it's going to take.
Yeah.
That's and maybe, hey, maybe like Aaron Glenn's got, or Mike Tomlin, somebody's got some fast hands out here.
Aaron Glenn, I got him at 5'9", 183. I'm asking for a printout here of coach's height and weight.
Okay.
Danny Campbell's 6'5", 265.
Hey, big tree fall hard.
But, you know, I don't necessarily think size is going to be the end-all, be-all. It's hard to predict, like, you know, how good some of these fighters are going to be.
Of the small guy coaches, like, okay, McDaniel there at Miami.
No chance he'd get
away. No. Small guy, who would...
Oh, small guy versus small guy?
Yeah, no, small guy. Who would be the best fighter of the small guys?
Aaron Glenn.
You think it's Glenn?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Glenn did play. If we're going like the...
You think Nick Sirianni could, like, fight dirty?
6'3", 210. You know, or no, I'm sorry, 195 there on Sirianni. He looks bigger than that.
I think Sirianni absolutely would fight. And that's a guy with that face. He's been in a lot of fights before.
Oh, clearly. You got Shane Steichen coming in here at 6'4", 205.
Isn't Jonathan Gannon, is he a tall guy?
Oh, Jonathan, no, he's not tall, but he's jacked.
And Ben Johnson, the way he went at Aditi Kinkabwala, the veins that were coming out of his neck, like that guy's got anger issues.
That's beta rage, though. I'm not a big believer in Ben Johnson. He's not the biggest guy either.
Ben Johnson. I wouldn't be taking Matt LaFleur and really anybody else in the
NFC. How about a guy in Minnesota? Do you think he could fight?
Oh, yes.
Bigger gentleman, absolutely.
Former quarterback? Absolutely.
He might be too intellectual to be a scrapper, though. Vrabel.
Like McVay's, no. McVay's not a scrapper. I love him. He's not a scrapper. And he's got a, plantar fasciitis or something?
Yeah, he's banged up.
He's got an issue. It's Campbell, it's Vrabel, it's D'Amico Ryans.
Okay,
those would be the three.
I'm just going to give you an idea. Sean Payton would start the fight, and then he would back out. And let somebody else get
Well, Sean head. Payton's out here defending the tush push. Did you see that, Brian?
Yeah, I did see that.
He's like, oh, I was one of them that went ahead and endorsed this. I think it's one of the safest plays in football, and it's basically just a quarterback sneak. As long as these guys just don't fall start, you know, my BS meter went up when they started talking bleep about it. I'm like, Sean, screw you, dude. Yeah. You have to play these guys twice a year, all right? Gosh dang it.
Got him this week.
Got him this week, yeah.
Yeah, well, I hope the Broncos get a win. Go Denver.
Go Denver.
I've been quietly just cheering for them this year and haven't done bleep.
Denver's not been great. It gives me a little hope for Dallas going in there now.
Yeah, they're going to be right by the time the Cowboys are playing them. Just finally the offense got going against a really bad Cincinnati
Nix
team.
Finally Bo learns Nix, how know. To throw the ball more than 4 yards down the field.
Maybe Bo Nix will be the reason that the Cowboys are finally able to get something going with the turnovers. Mac Jones not expected to make... He is expected to make his third start because Brock Purdy's out again. Now he's got the toe. But here are the top targets for San Francisco in this week. Kendrick Bourne, DeMarcus Robinson, and their tight end is Jake Tongs.
Tongs?
It's probably Tungies.
Tongus.
It looks like Tongus.
It looks like, without the U. But that's bad. No Ricky Pearsall, no Juwan Jennings. They're all going to be out. They got a Thursday night game against the Rams.
And he's always hurt.
Poor yeah, it's a guy. Bummer.
Just hamstring, knee, whatever.
He just can't get it together. Shaq Leonard retiring with the Colts. Congratulations to him on a fantastic career. Bucky Irving, he's got a lower leg injury. He's week 5 status up in that bag for Tampa. But we've got ourselves quite a jersey clash. Okay, we got Bucks. We got Seahawks. Week 5. Bucks are going to be wearing the creamsicles, the white ones. All right?
Yes.
The white creamsicles. Seattle's going to be wearing their old blue throwbacks.
Yes.
This is going to be a jersey clash for the ages. It's going to be beautiful.
I'm excited about that. Is that in Tampa or is that in Seattle?
Seattle.
I think it is his home game for the Seahawks.
Yeah, Seattle, 305. Yeah.
That's a fun game.
That's going to be awesome. It is a fun game.
Seattle's defense is the real deal. And Sam Darnold, I mean, say what you want, but he is playing.
Same, he's playing pretty good.
Top level football.
Jaxon Smith-Njigba getting it done. Rockwall zone.
Oh, yeah. Dominating.
Oh, star. They got two good runners there with Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet. They're making things happen.
Well, I want to look at their scheme as well because their offensive line is atrocious. Like, it shouldn't be able to generate the kind of production they are.
Well, that's the old Clint Kubiak who came in here with New Orleans and just destroyed the Cowboys. So he does know how to run that football. Anthony Richardson today, we had a piece
from quit.
Jeremy Fowler. Well, he's now open-minded to a trade, which I think he was as soon as he got benched, but he's smart because he threw out there the team in which he'd want to go to would be the Rams and a coach like Sean McVay.
Try and learn.
And that might be perfect, yes. Mm-hmm. Could he go sit, maybe be the heir apparent for Matthew Stafford? Mm-hmm. Like if I were a young quarterback, I'm trying to get to Minnesota, I'm trying to get to McVay and the Rams, one of those teams would probably be the place that I'm trying to get to, and maybe I can end up revitalizing my career.
QB rehabilitation program.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Nick Saban was doing for the coaches. I mean, now we're doing it for the QBs.
In Minnesota?
Yeah. Minnesota's certainly one. All right, let's get to this trade block. I got some names here.
Come on.
You tell me if you're interested in trading for
him. No.
Mozzie Smith was listed. The Cowboys trade him. You know the projected value they're putting on here for Mozzie?
Bag of Doritos.
A seven? A pick swap?
They put a sixth on here. You think you could even get a sixth?
A vending machine credit.
Potential suitors, Buffalo and Cincy.
Must have been watching Greg Ellis's breakdown.
Not a bad football player, says Greg Ellis. Not bad. Don't call him bad. I am interested in this one. Greg Newsome, Cleveland Browns. Conditional 2026 fourth round pick is the projected trade offer for him. I'm a fan of Greg Newsome's, always have been. I wonder how eager the Cowboys would be, though, to actually adding corner help. Because they do have, now I don't know about the future of Diggs, but he's under contract. Bland's under contract. Revels obviously got three more years after this year on his rookie deal. So they're kind of set at that position for the future. But that'd be a name I'm looking at.
If internally they're thinking, let's not do anything, let's stand pat and try to dominate free agency and, you know, make the most out of these picks in the draft, would you like that? If that turns out to be their approach, something they would probably never admit, but that's kind of what it looks like. When Shoddy says, well, it's year one of the program, we're building, and Jerry keeps saying, we like our guys and we have reinforcements coming, I'm like, man, you might have the best offense in the NFL when everybody gets healthy.
Right.
Why would you want to dork around with this?
Which is why I'm more open-minded now with just how well Dak's playing. If he can sustain this to like, I would be open-minded to being aggressive and trying to get Trey Hendrickson, who's on this list. Reek Woolen from Seattle is on here. Because, I mean, Seattle might be the best team in evaluating corners. They are tremendous. They now have the ability to trade Tariq Woolen, who's been one of the better corners since they drafted him, because they found guys on day three that are playing and starting for him now.
The Bama kid.
They got a surplus of players. Yeah, and then Witherspoon, who they took him fifth overall. That guy was a stud from Illinois. But now Woolen's playing time's diminished, and he's in a contract year. So if you want to move for him, you could. Kayvon Thibodeau within the division is listed as possibly a guy, because he's going to have to get paid. They just drafted Abdul Carter. They've got Brian Burns under contract.
Carter's crushing, too.
And it's a second-round pick or starting caliber receiver. That might be where, if you're not looking to pay George Pickens, do you player swap that? Do you go Pickens for Thibodeau?
I would be interested in that.
Now you're thinking, bro.
Just, you know, we're just talking. We're just guys talking ball. Ball knowers of the round table style. Shout out to the morning show.
Wow.
Just a swap-a-rooski. Both guys you're going to have to pay.
Right.
But Thibodeau might actually be cheaper than Pickens.
But do you have you got a fifth-year option on Thibodeau, don't you?
Hey, that's a guy who's been in the front office before, Brian. You do.
Yeah. And you'd have would you be able to franchise tag Pickens?
You could. Yeah, I think you absolutely could. Yes, you absolutely could. Yeah. So you could keep both. You could just give up the two because the Cowboys, let's be real, haven't exactly been home run pickers with their second-round picks. Just give the two to Tibbs. Keep both of them.
Yeah, I think there is something to be said for if you have a balanced offense, do you need two number one wide receivers? And can you get them both involved enough in the offense to justify the expense in your passing game if you're planning to run it?
I'd sure like to try and find out with this crew.
Yeah, I'd love to find out.
But we've seen it in Cincinnati, right?
Right, and it really benefits when like one gets hurt. That's when it's like, okay, now we're still okay at the position.
Yeah.
But when they are both healthy, I think it's absolutely fair to wonder, can I really maximize both of these players when they're both on the field at the same time?
I mean, they got a lot done last year with just Lamb, and obviously they got a lot done Sunday against a great defense with just Pickens. But, you know, the luxury of having two of those guys, especially in injury situations, are just overwhelming the opposition. You do look at Cincinnati, though, and how much does it matter if you really can't defend?
You know, should your resources go to making sure you have a good defense if you're heading towards being one of the worst two or three or best five in the entire league? Are the Cowboys' biggest rivals for real? Mounting evidence suggests a regression is imminent. I have some college football QB rankings here through 5 weeks. Looking forward to week six. We'll get that and more coming up next here on your home of the Cowboys.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not.
Outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fly through the fan. All right, welcome back. GBAG Nation, 105.3 The Fan. What do we make of these Eagles? Mounting evidence that they are, in fact, pretenders and not contenders at 4-0. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Chief yesterday had the stat they lead the league in three-and-out rate. And today I saw... Their total offense is 30th. Their total defense is 22nd, but their win percentage is first.
100.
So, yeah. What do you make of this? How do you explain the Eagles' success so far?
Man. Special teams.
Yeah.
I think special teams is a huge thing, right? That's how they were able to beat the Rams. And really, I think that's what ended up being the difference maker against the Bucs. They were able to block, and Sidney Brown had a return for a touchdown. So, look, you got to give them credit. They've won 20 of 21 games. So they're finding ways to win even when they're at their not at their best. But I do wonder about that offensive line. Like, are we finally seeing some cracks in the armor when it comes to their rushing attack with some of the numbers that you gave us yesterday? And Lane Johnson's been banged up.
Yeah, I mean, they've had some injuries on the offensive line. And and like even Landon Dickerson, guy who's played, he's been super banged up. So he's just not quite himself. They're not getting the same level of push. Their yards before contact now is middle of the road, and it's usually like number one the last 4 or 5 years. They're getting great push, and they're not getting that right now. Then you mix in the fact that you have another new offensive coordinator as well. You have Jalen Hurts, who's just kind of up and down as a passer, and this is kind of what it results in.
So I don't know what an accurate projection would be right now at 4-0 already. I think they got to be thinking 11, 12 wins. But, heck, the wheels came off in 2023. And there's this lingering, you know, backstory of how happy is A.J. Brown. He told you on social media before the season started he plays this game to dominate. And they're saying all the right things, like he just wants the ball more. This is all about, you know, winning and being productive. But the Eagles are giving you no sign publicly that they'd want to trade him. But in today's Jeremy Fowler piece, some execs believe they could possibly trade A.J. Brown. And if that happens, I think they're significantly less. They got to be thinking right now, holy crap, we got rid of like six key guys for salary cap reasons. This is like the Chiefs winning it in a rebuilding year. Like, are we really going to do this? But I think I think that idea could fall apart on them pretty quickly.
Yeah, you know how hard that is to do?
Yeah.
Like, where you're just dragging a team and just finding ways late in games. You have to have an unbelievable coach and you have to have an unbelievable quarterback. And the Chiefs were doing it as well with like, a supreme defense,
right?
Which at this point, the Eagles aren't quite that.
No, like they have got a supreme corner, Quinyon Mitchell. I mean, he's right behind Pat Surtain in terms of one-on-one, taking on the best receiver in football. He's got the best stats, according to Next Gen, being able to shut down that guy. But, I mean, yeah, that the dysfunction aspect of it, that and health is kind of why I faded the Eagles at the beginning of the season. Because you saw even when they were 10-1 in 2023, they just completely had a dysfunctional locker room that just deteriorated on itself. And the Cowboys were able to come back, win that division, then they get blown out on the road in the wild card round against Tampa Bay. So this love-hate, like Jeremy Fowler saying it's the worst-kept secret inside the league, that Brown's got a love-hate relationship with Philly's passing game bubbles, and that bubbles to the surface from time to time. So maybe that's something that can be, you talk about enemy from within type of stuff, maybe that ends up just being something where They start losing games. The A.J. Brown thing's an issue. Maybe some other players are unhappy. Eventually, Barkley, like, he's a team player, but he's not having the success that he's used to either. So I don't know. I'm hoping this thing just becomes so dysfunctional that they just cannibalize each other.
Yeah, and usually, like, when a star wide receiver's not getting the targets or whatever, but the team's still winning, you're kind of like, hey, dude, you guys are still winning. But I think it's obvious to sort of be able to see through that a little bit. I get why A.J. Brown is feeling the way he's feeling. Like, you're not winning games consistently. You're not winning a Super Bowl when you don't complete a pass in the second half of games.
Yeah.
When your offense just completely disappears and your quarterback's super erratic, like, yeah, you're 4-0 right now, but he understands that with what our expectations are, competing for a Super Bowl, we can't continue to do this. I don't know that A.J. Brown would be feeling this type of way if the offense was humming. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, the passing game's awesome. Things are going well. I'm just not really getting mine right now. I think he'd be able to stomach it a little bit more other than feeling like, man, we're barely winning these games.
It is tough to manage success. I think that's a big part of it. Like, everybody's saying, you're winning games. How could this be a problem? But it's just the toxic nature of being important and feeling appreciated and being productive. And then, you know, for Brown, he's one of the star players that I think is really attracted to playing the game of football because he's so great at it, because I get to go out here and make everybody cheer my name. It's been happening for him his entire life. And the sport's just not the same if it's not happening at that level. I think the good news for them right now is they got some fairly manageable games coming up on their schedule for the next month. Hell, maybe they get to 8-0. Broncos, Giants, at Minnesota.
Giants again, right?
And then then Giants again there. So, three out of the next four seem like they should be cakewalks. But as we saw with Green Bay against Cleveland, some crazy stuff can happen. And Denver does quite a few things well.
Be a heck of a stretch for them, though, when you get into early November and it's Packers, Lions, Cowboys.
Yeah, wheels could come off there. I think the trade deadline would have passed by then, you know, if you're hoping an A.J. Brown. I think if they were trying to trade A.J. Brown, I don't know if they'd want picks or they'd want a dominant defensive player or exactly what they would want, but that could get really interesting if Jeremy Fowler's report is true, that it's, out there in the front offices believing that they could move him. All right, top college quarterbacks. Who needs to be on your radar? How much has the quarterback landscape shifted in the 5 weeks since the season started? If you're looking for your next QB, which one of these guys do you want? And where is Arch on this list? Okay, and then as we get to that, how much do you expect him to recover from what's kind of become a less than ideal start? I mean, the only scenario the Cowboys would be taking a quarterback next spring is an injury situation. Dak's going to be 33 in July. He's absolutely balling. You're looking at what's left on this contract now with some optimism as long as he stays healthy. But how do you look at these? These are our ESPN quarterback power rankings. And at number one, that's why I asked Jared when I ran into him today when he was doing the KNC Masterpiece stuff. By the way, congrats to Jared. It was terrific news on social media. But Jaden Maiava at USC is the top guy on ESPN's QB quarterback index. Brian, you seen him play much yet?
I watched him play against Illinois the other day and was super impressed with his ability. He's got exceptional touch of the ball. And when it needs to be kind of, you know, just kind of tossed over the top of a linebacker, thrown in front of somebody, this guy is really, really good. And I don't think he gets rattled in these games. I was, you know, Illinois, the crowd was pretty, you know, was pretty raucous in that game. He hung in there. I was kind of impressed because I didn't know anything about him, but man, I'm watching him move the ball and you know, USC's had some quarterbacks in the past, but this kid looks like legitimately like he can. Nothing seemed to bother him in that game.
Yes.
And I was impressed by that.
Well, he's tall. He probably sees everything and he's fast, so he can run away.
He moves around very, very well. That's the first time I'd seen him. I hadn't.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to admit I haven't watched much USC football, but I did stop down and watch a little Illinois against them, and I was like, man, what's the, they finally found one.
He's been incredible versus the blitz as well. When you go inside the numbers on when you blitz this guy, he just completely tortures you. He's dang near number one in every category.
What do you guys do with the short guys coming out these days?
I'm done with them.
You're done?
I'm out.
Because 2 and 3 are shorter guys, Pavia and Trinidad. Is it Chambliss or Chambliss?
He's the one that Ole Miss.
He just took over there for Austin Simmons.
He's an interesting guy because he came from a Division III
Ferris State. I think.
Yeah, I it was some. It was some. He he was playing in front of like 5,000 people, and last week he was playing.
And they won it all. Yeah.
He's this guy's. I'll tell you what, man. He made some really good throws in that LSU game, and his ability to kind of scramble around. Another guy with a lot of movement, but yeah, not a lot of experience on the highest of levels. But it didn't look too big for him against LSU. That was, LSU's defense is pretty darn good this year. And he navigated that thing pretty well.
ESPN's fourth-rated college quarterback right now, Fernando Mendoza, is Indiana, has another player second year in a row. They found a guy. And
he's the real deal.
It's really unbelievable how good that program is now.
Yeah. Mendoza, there's really not much. You look at him.
He's very aware of the lines and
games.
Yeah,
I don't really see a lot of weaknesses in his game.
And then and then we go on a run, right, until I just kept scrolling down being like, where is Arch? I found John Mateer at 12, and it's interesting. You know, the guy that was the Heisman front runner before the injury sitting down there at 12. But they say it's tricky to evaluate because the offense has been mediocre this season, 61 points per drive, or 61st in points per drive. But anything good has probably been because of him. He's carrying a heavy load for an otherwise poor run game, and he's distributing the ball nicely. You get Baylor, Sawyer Robertson at 21, Josh Hoover, TCU at 23, Marcel Reed with the Aggies at 26, then the Red Baron, Baron Morton at 28, Kevin Jennings, 35 at SMU, and then 41's Arch Manning, saying it almost looks like paralysis by analysis for Manning. He's been raised as a perfect QB specimen, knows every angle, seems to freeze up while considering what to do. Averages 3.1 seconds to throw. That's the seventh most in the country.
Wow.
He's 100th in interception rate and 96th in completion rate. Texas defense will buy him developmental time, but things could click at any moment, they say. They just haven't. Do you believe they'll click for Arch?
Yeah, I'm a believer that it's going to click for him now. It's the first big test this week. SEC play starts.
Yeah.
And they're taking on a Florida Gator team. Desperate team theory. It's alive there. I think they're going to get their star freshman wide receiver making his debut as he's been banged up to start the season. You go on the road to the Swamp. This is where we're going to start to see you don't have any more time now, Arch. Like, now's where you need to start hitting the ground running. You need to start peaking here.
Do you feel like this is going to sound weird, Wolchuk, but could he get what happened to the previous quarterback? Could they move on from this guy?
No.
Arch? No. I think that they're committed to Arch. I don't see that there's any way. Now
if it ends up to be a Texas Bowl appearance or something like
that. No, I think that he's starting for them next year no matter what.
Okay. Because that's funny. I was just looking at the top quarterbacks, you know, like according to Pro Football Focus for the season, and like Arch is number one, Cade Klubnik at Clemson's number two. Boy, that guy's falling off the map. Drew Aller.
Yeah, Klubnik is behind Arch in these rankings.
Yeah, Drew Aller for Penn State is on this list. Nussmeier hadn't played very well at all. I mean, Dave's talking about an arm injury. Sam Levitt, I watched a little of Arizona State.
I love Sam Levitt.
He's kind of he's an interesting guy.
He's got some it about him, and he can run.
Carson Beck has looked good Look at Miami. Lenore Sellers, they're talking about him transferring from South Carolina now.
Poof.
So, and then our guy from UCLA. They brought with the guy with Nico with the funny last name.
Yamaleva.
Yeah.
I am a leaving.
Yeah.
He's been bad.
Talon Green at Arkansas. Mendoza's down on this list. Mendoza's the last guy.
Yeah, Mendoza's
be better than all these guys.
The young buck that's been awesome is CJ Carr from Notre Dame. That dude has been lighting
I've seen
up.
Notre Dame play a little bit.
He's just gotten better and better every week.
Yeah.
Bo Pribula at Mizzou is another guy that's going to start being talked about here. Mizzou's undefeated right now.
If I'm a great offensive lineman, wide receiver, running back, though, and Arch continues to play like this, and I'm Sark, and I'm hearing from players that maybe aren't thinking that this is a great place to come play.
I should ask you this question?
You got to be open-minded to it.
I knew somebody would bite on that.
I don't think he's playing well enough to keep the job just based on projection, and they've continued to recruit other quarterbacks. There's four or five other guys in that
program. Like a Rajah Bell's son. Okay. Who's like a five-star guy. He's probably the next. But they like to redshirt him, and this is just kind of how Sark is. I mean, I'll ask around at my Texas peeps, but I don't think that I'd be absolutely stunned right now if they decided, you know what, this didn't work out for us and we're moving on.
Well, it's possible that, you know, I maybe for him he needs to move. Seems like if you go to Oregon, you kind of figure out you all of a sudden you go from being Bo Nix to being Bo Nix drafted in the first round.
I think Oregon's got the end of the year with Arch, we're going to be like, okay, we can see it.
How old is our guy at Oregon, by the way?
Dante Moore?
Yeah.
He's just in his second. I think,
yeah, he's young.
I think he was a freshman.
So he's
going to
be there for
UCLA.
A little bit?
Yeah.
All right. Man.
I think he's got one more year. And a lot of people texting about Drew Mestemaker at UNT. I mean, that's a kid that's not going to be NFL eligible.
Get him?
He's a star. He was a backup at in high school, so he didn't really start many games. I think he might have only started one. The story on him is pretty crazy. I think he's only started now 6-7 games his entire football life.
Wow.
And he's out here just freaking dealing for Eric Morris. He's going to get a fat bag by somebody in the transfer portal. And Chandler Morris, who left and is at Virginia, is playing fantastic.
Just beat
this
FSU.
Year.
Yeah, saw that.
He's still in the league?
Yeah.
Yep, NCAA league, that is. Okay, we got to run. Trayvon Diggs is in the news. Tyler Smith, Kevontae Turpin, plus big picture storylines for Cowboys and Jets, and that's coming up.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next year on The Fan. Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Got some more Cowboys content here for you. At the break, I was watching some Mavs Twitter content. They got some clips coming out of that practice up there in Vancouver, BC. Looks like Cooper Flagg's crushing. He's blocking shots. He's hitting jumpers. Anthony Davis, appears to maybe have a Luka situation on his hands, as I guess he's 15 pounds heavier than he was at last year's Lakers training camp.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I saw some photos, man. The evidence is pretty damning.
Yeah.
You sure it's not John Machota taking the Tony Romo bad jersey
bad
picture?
Angle?
Yeah,
just give him the bad angle benefit?
Yeah, John Machota can get you the bad angle.
Is this a hard-reported 15 LBs? Or is this just an eyeball test?
Man.
Because, I mean, you do get the day one training camp. Everybody's going to step on the scale.
Is he wearing long sleeves?
See what that offseason was like for
you. Is he wearing long
you?
Sleeves underneath his... That's a dead sign right there.
He might not have been able to do a lot of offseason work because of the eye procedure.
Yeah, because the eye thing.
Couldn't see where the weight room was?
Maybe not.
Maybe they want him to bang around a little bit more down low.
Maybe they just
say he's going to wear glasses, right?
Yeah, yeah. I saw him. Like,
yeah.
They look pretty good.
Is he going full Rip Hamilton with the mask? Or
no.
Or like Amari Stoudemire?
Just goggles, just like a swimmer.
I mean, he's getting around pretty good, but I'd like to get Nico's comment on that. You know, what do you think about your star?
That's a good,
hardworking guy.
Oh gosh,
I think McMahon's there.
Yeah, McMahon's there.
Is he there?
Yeah, why don't you text McMahon? I saw him in the background.
All right, I'll ask him.
Some clips.
What do you want to know, Nico? Hey, what's up with Fat Davis?
Yeah,
Fat Lever Davis.
Say, you guys are the worst.
15 pounds, is that real?
No, he's not fat.
Could
what
it
do you
be 20?
What do you mean, ask McMahon?
No, he is.
Is it true that AD has gained 15 pounds?
All right, hang on.
And how does Nico feel about
it? Maybe we call Tim up and get him to talk about this.
Okay, Tyler Smith had an MRI on his knee, but Brian clarified for us about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's the normal thing that he has that, what was it, Wolchuk, that we talked
tendonitis.
About? Tendonitis. Yeah.
The tendies.
He had that training camp knee, had to walk off the field, missed some time, but this is probably a management thing.
That's what they're doing.
Kevontae Turpin has a foot sprain, not exactly sure when that happened, but his status up in the air.
Yeah, they're saying him, they can't put a timetable on this thing. I don't know if that's good or bad, to be honest with you.
Well, it's a good thing Flannoy's come on because they're gonna need some wide receiver help. Although CeeDee Lamb is out of his boot and he was at practice, walking around today, being social and all that, but does not look good for him playing either. And this is a Jets team that I think is going to stress your defense once again. I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets score 30 points on you. So you're going to have to, have a game offensively. And then Trayvon Diggs confirmed he did not start due to an off-the-field situation, and he respected the coach's decision. But we'd kind of heard that maybe he was frustrated with his role or how things were going, and he was venting on some coaches. And apparently, Shoddy decided some disciplinary action in the form of not starting was in order. Okay, big picture storylines for this Cowboys and Jets game. I think it does start with Justin Fields. And if I'm the Jets, I'm studying what the Eagles did and trying to create those situations as much as possible where your corners have bailed in zone and I have a hole in the line to squirt through and then maybe one man to beat and I got 20 yards of real estate ahead of me. He has 178 yards. He's only played 2.5 games. 7.8 yards per attempt. So this is where it really, really starts. And I think Fields might be the GOAT of running quarterbacks if he can start enough games, because he gives up so much sooner.
Yeah.
And adds the physicality element to it as well. He doesn't have to beat you with finesse or by being fast. He can do power as well. So there's a lot of different ways he can beat you, and I think he gives up so quickly, his running reps will be high as long as he's healthy.
Yeah, I we talked about that, though, at Krusty's Corner. You might have to muddle rush him, slow rush him.
Mm-hmm.
Just something to kind of keep him in the pocket. Try and get that eye level down. We always talk about that with quarterbacks. He'll sack himself if you could just kind of keep him in that pocket area.
Yeah. Okay, number two. I mean, the Jets just have top-end talent. And it's crazy how bad they are. But Garrett Wilson could have a claim.
Yeah, legit.
For,
that was phenomenal.
For top three or four wide receiver if he could ever get a quarterback. It's amazing he didn't do more with Aaron Rodgers last year. I guess Devontae Adams was there. But Quinnen Williams can wreck your day.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, we'll talk about him tomorrow.
Okay. I mean, that guy against Brock Hoffman – It could break a record.
Will McDonald's going to be a tough one to block too,
for sure.
Yeah, he definitely destroyed the Steelers offensive line in week one. I think he had three or four pressures in the first quarter, and then Sauce Gardner's going to be a tough one. You only have the one good wide receiver. How do you guys like Pickens against Gardner? I guess Brian will give us more of a breakdown tomorrow, Krusty's Corner, with a hard look at the Jets' defensive tape, but I think that's a key matchup.
We need to see how much Sauce is traveling.
Could you imagine Pickens having another game like this, 150 yards, one of the top games of his entire career? That narrative, that storyline could really go a next level for us. The emotional overtime game thing, is that a factor?
Yeah.
I would say it's different than the Giants game because you didn't win this one. You can still be hungry, especially defensively. Those guys got to be incredibly hungry in that Cowboys locker room. So hopefully they find the energy and the emotional focus to come out and play with that level of determination you had. You called them desperate team. Can you be desperate team still after a tie? Hopefully.
I'd hope so. I mean, because, you know, like I say, you get that win. Boy, that would have been outstanding. But, yeah, they still got to play. I mean, they've got to find a way to get this one done. Seriously, you can't. You need to get this one. You need to get the Carolina one and you know, get a little momentum going and hopefully you get some of these guys back. But, man, if this injury list turns into, like, all your starters are on the inactive list, this is going to be a tough game. And I worry about that a little bit.
I mean, you've always wanted Dak Prescott to carry the team and to make up for where you're short. Maybe he took a massive step in that direction here in the offseason.
He did.
Yeah, I got some numbers on Dak coming up here, and they're pretty amazing.
I mean, Lucius gives me credit for influencing the Jones boys to move on from Micah to show the agents. Maybe I'm two for two because all offseason I talked about with Tyron Smith there, the left tackle is out. Guess what? You're talking about less time, less space. Dak Prescott's going to break down. He's standing back there saying, I'll be damned if Gavin Dawson's going to be right on this one.
Yeah.
Go ahead and hit me while I'm throwing this ball. It's going to be dead balls on.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all kind of were out on Dak being able to play at an elite level.
He's like, watch me shake this one out one time, Dawson. Now, bang, touchdown.
And then my final big picture thought, this might be a Javonte Williams game. They're only giving up 199 per game in the air, but 130 on the ground, the Jets are. Cowboys at 5.1 on attempt. The Jets surrendering about league average 4.2 per run attempt.
Okay? They can't tackle, man.
Yeah.
It's
bad. Yeah, they got some issues. It's not like the typical Jets defense when you tune in.
Right.
Like you're thinking speed, power, solid, but their offense sucks. You know, right now I would think I'm more worried about their offense than their defense, say for those, you know, top end players in Williams and Gardner. In addition to the finest coming up next, Chief, where are you taking us?
Yeah, we have more numbers on Dak's dominance and we'll take a peek at some NFL sewage next in the nation.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.